I'm glad to be able to get back on the phone and give you some more information, a little, an update with regard to what's going on in the credit markets. And after we've gotten some news out regarding the closed-end funds and the dividend rates and so forth, glad to get you back caught up. Market conditions, I have to tell you, are not a lot different than they were a matter of weeks ago or even a matter of months ago. They just continue to be very strained, the credit markets. We've talked a lot about the liquidity problem versus the credit problem. You know, the fact is there are poor performing mortgage pools. There is a subprime credit issue where there are poor performing loans, but that's not universal across every subprime issue, and it also expands to other mortgage-backed securities as well. But we've not really had a credit problem in the corporate area. We haven't had a real uptick in the amount of delinquencies or defaults in the portfolios beyond some of the problems in subprime. And there are, you know, some poor-performing mortgage pools, but it has sort of kicked off or pushed us into more of a liquidity problem than it has a credit problem in the marketplace. And just to illustrate that, I think look at the realm of the money market, what's going on in money markets right now. A1, T1 asset-backed commercial paper is available at any dealer in the 6 to 6.25% range. I was just looking at, you know, I guess I can sell you all the asset-backed commercial paper you want at 6.25%, and I can't clear it there. On the other hand, four-week T-bills were trading this morning at 1.5%. They're back around 2.5%. I have seen them printing as low as 1.3% on four-week bills. That's roughly, you know, anywhere from 300 to 400 basis points through the Fed funds rate of 5.25%. The yield of the two-year Treasury has fallen from about, you know, 5.1% mid-June to 4% today. That's down 110 basis points just in a matter of a couple of months. There is clearly, you know, a flight to quality in a serious matter. And part of the softness in credit continues to be impacted by the lack of financing available. That really moves all the way up the credit stack. The major broker-dealers are no longer willing to provide financing via the repo agreements and via financing for hedge funds or any other buyers of that matter, strategic buyers. So the relative volume and flow that are going through the credit market has dropped off dramatically. We've had success. There is success trading in stocks. There's also success in trading in corporate bonds as well. Most of them follow a model that's more like an agent trade than a principal trade, where the buyers and sellers are lined up and the broker essentially passes it through, and there's not a big position taken by the broker-dealer. So that particular style of trading or that mode, it continues to move pretty well. In the mortgage-backed securities arena and in the asset-backed securities arena and in the larger chunks of bonds where the dealers are typically providing capital by taking principal positions, those trades are just non-existent at the moment. And any primary dealer that's involved in ABX trading or credit default swap trading or large mortgage-backed origination and CDO origination is essentially on lockdown. I've just seen very little in the way of trading occurring at the largest of dealers, and I'll allow you to supply the names. Don't need to do that, but those are very, very difficult. The trading we've been able to do are in the secondary and tertiary dealers markets that are providing more of the agent-oriented business than the principal-oriented trade. From a fundamental basis, I think that this can persist for some time. I think the Fed has taken action to try to re-liquefy the markets, to try to provide some additional liquidity. I think that you're looking at, when you look at T-bills at the levels that there are now, I think the market doesn't believe that that's enough. I happen to concur. I don't believe that that is enough. And I do believe that it's more likely that we see another move on the discount rate rather than Fed funds rate sooner rather than later. And I think that purpose for that is to provide liquidity to the banking system and not to the general public and to lower overall rates, but to lower banking system rates. And I think that probably is something that may be forthcoming before even the next Fed meeting. I see the difficulty like a Countrywide Financial and a Thornburg Mortgage is a matter of financing, not a matter of credit. We see the marks that we're experiencing and the NAV volatility that we're experiencing is in great measure. A part of that is dictated by liquidity, more so than by credit. And even the mortgage companies that have experienced so much difficulty, for the most part, had reasonably good business plans, but without financing, they don't work. And so sort of this dry up or this massive deleveraging that we've had occur is really what's causing most of the volatility that we're experiencing. And I think that that's probably set to persist for some time. I don't know how long that happens, but so much of the marginal buyer in our markets and in the credit markets as well were buyers that depended upon financing to some degree or the other. When we run the intermediate and high income funds, we're buying for cash. We buy $10 million, we wire out $10 million, we receive $10 million in a security. But that is just not the most frequent transaction, especially among hedge funds or any other strategic asset manager. Typically requires some financing on that trade, and that's just not available right now. So the marginal buyer has been sort of put on the sideline by that. So that is really the volatility we see going on in the marketplace. I think that it's a fundamental deleveraging. I don't see credit, especially in the corporate arena, being negatively affected. However, when you take the amount of money that's available to participate in a market period, then you begin to see other sectors being affected as well. We've seen the subprime troubles spread to the Alt-A mortgages. We've seen Alt-A spread to jumbo. We've seen jumbo spread to conforming mortgages. We've seen mortgage problems spread to corporate high yield, and especially spread to the financial sector of corporate issuers, where spreads have widened dramatically on anything financial. Just name a financial, J.P. Morgan, Merrill Lynch, etc. Any of those corporate credits that are highly rated have widened dramatically in spread to treasuries, creating pressure on the price there. And we've seen that, follow through to the commercial paper market, especially in the asset-backed commercial paper, and then all the way to money market funds. So the most recent, concerns in the market are with money market funds and their flight to quality buying. There's a serious flight to quality when you're buying T-bills at 1.3%. That's just all there is to that. I mean, certainly those officials governing our marketplace can see that. Now, I want to take, we got a number of questions in to us, so what we've done is we've sort of summarized those questions into five questions that I think address the biggest issues, and some of those have subsets. Most regarding, certainly a lot of questions regarding the NAV volatility of both, of all the funds we manage, HIX, IBX, and closed-end funds as well. And what's been the main culprit and the type of assets involved? And I think that's, something we've covered. The main culprit, of course, goes back to subprime. That's where sort of the credit issues began, but they've spread since then. And then probably the biggest impact on pricing and volatility in the NAV has been on CDOs. CDOs that are comprised of maybe of subprime, but maybe of Alt-A or prime collateral, but even CDOs are backed by corporate collateral. So anything in the CDO structure has been very negatively impacted. We don't have any that are not performing. The asset class itself has been performing well. It has performed as we expected, certainly, knowing that not every single one would always perform, but the CDOs have done well. There's been a good asset allocation for us up until a few months ago, but that's one of the areas that has been particularly negatively affected. And the reason for that is because primary dealers are still stacked full of those. So the train stopped. I mean, the buyers of CDOs stopped with Bear Stearns. That was the first, I think, the Bear Stearns hedge funds was sort of the first shoe to drop in the flow of CDOs moving through every primary broker dealer who creates them. And then as that backed up, then you're looking at you know, you pick a name, a primary broker dealer with a warehouse full of collateral to go into the next CDO. With the market for CDOs not there, then they're full of collateral and potential CDO collateral, so the bids for existing positions have been especially poor. Although performance, the pricing, in my opinion, has no connection with the current performance of CDOs, but that's been the main culprit of late. And those again, can be backed by anything from corporate bonds to corporate loans to prime mortgages to subprime mortgages. It really doesn't matter. All of those have been priced down. You know, what do we see or expect over the next 3 to 6 months? I think that probably we still are expecting a bit of volatility in the marketplace. I think it will take some time to restore liquidity. We certainly are going to have to see more movement from the Federal Reserve and the central banking system to restore some liquidity and some confidence. That's just, I feel certain of that. You know, going back last year, I felt like that we would see a slower economy in 08, and I mentioned last year we, you know, lengthened the duration in our intermediate fund to take advantage of lower rates. That, of course, occurred in the second half of last year. But then, you know, we had a very slow first quarter, and then the economy seemed to pick up, and rates went back up. But I think we've seen that spike in rates, and now Treasury rates are coming back down. I think that the next move of the Fed will be down. Although we thought it was because of a slowing economy, it's going to wind up being because of a liquidity crisis in the financial systems that sort of bring about that next at ease. So 3 to 6 months, I still believe that you're probably going to be fairly rough sledding as we gradually begin to cure the lack of liquidity in the marketplace. Don't know that I see a lot changing. Payroll employment continues to be fairly solid. I'm a little concerned about, you know, how strong the retail environment may be as we approach, you know, the fall and Christmas year-end selling season, with the pressure on the housing market as it is. So we're sort of watching that for the strength in the economy as we close out the year in the fourth quarter. And then, you know, kind of a follow-on to that, have the actions taken by Moody's and S&P had any effect on the market valuations? Absolutely, yes, they have. They've been, as has always been the case, they've been right on time, well after the fact. Both Moody's and S&P and Fitch, I guess to include them as well, have taken rather severe and draconian ratings actions just in the last, say, 30 to 60 days. On credit issues that were evolving, you know, 6 months ago. So they're marking down, and the big re-ratings that are occurring on 06 collateral. Well, you know, in 06, you know, 12 months ago, there was no question about the ratings, you know, on those bonds, and no question regarding the subordination and FICO scores and that sort of thing, and loan-to-value and that sort of thing. So, well after the fact, yes, there is, you know, some very serious changes in the way that they're rating mortgages as well as any other asset-backed or securitized finance product. However, the market price has well already reflected that, but it is having some impact on liquidity as well as some of the cash flows as they go through the CDOs, because it can, in fact, impair or trip covenants within the CDO structure. So it does have some impact on what's going on in the liquidity and market pricing of securities. And so, I think the biggest portion of those re-ratings moves are behind us for the most part. I think that we're moving very quickly to cover their own, themselves, if you will, in making those rather sudden and very wide-ranging re-ratings measures. A second question into a different area is, have the portfolios experienced meaningful change in the percentage of performing versus non-performing assets? And that question was asked in a lot of different ways, and basically asking, are the portfolios still performing as expected, or do we see an increase in the default rate? Certainly not in the corporate arena, we have not. In the subprime arena, we have had some bonds that have been troubled, but they've been written down and have continued to be written down. And I expect we will have more in the subprime space that will be problematic. That represents, a portion of the portfolio. But by and large, we still have the same performing ratios that we've had, in the past for the most part. The second lien subprime mortgages, I would say, would be the single area that's been most problematic. And at this point, when we take the market valuation or the portfolio valuation as they're currently marked, that just is a very, very small portion of the portfolio at this point in time. A third question is, do you expect the Fed's actions last week to help the price action in any of the portfolio assets, or will Fed policy have any effect? Well, the Fed reduced the discount rate and then further broadened the range of collateral that would be acceptable to post as collateral at the discount window. The discount window is open to banks, not to the general borrower or to the, that doesn't really affect the borrowing rate for the general public. The discount window is really more specific to those member banks. And so it will be a muted effect, but it should add some liquidity to the system in some way. I think it's a very slow and measured approach. I think that the attitude of the Fed is they don't want to be perceived as providing a put or a bailout to over-levered or over-aggressive hedge funds or providing a bailout to a market that's over-levered. And I think that's kind of the attitude that they're trying to convey. But they also understand that, a liquidity crisis can be pervasive and can cause other problems as well. So I do believe that there will be some effect. It's going to be slower than just an outright lowering of Fed funds. And I do believe that there will probably be another move in the discount rate, either at the same time or before we get a move in the Fed funds rate. But it's my opinion that this market illiquidity will require more moves by the Fed, and that just what's been done so far will not be enough to reliquify the market and return us to normal trading volumes and conditions. It did have an effect. Those of you who watched net asset values, yes, it did have an effect on our underlying pricing of our assets. We picked up a bit last week, and it should have, more liquidity in the marketplace. It should have a positive effect on the things that we own. I would think that would be a good thing. We're looking for that. What type of assets have performed well during this period? What has, sailed through this reasonably well, and are you adding to those positions or changing the asset allocation in the portfolios? Well, anything that's been related to corporate credit has performed pretty well, especially the part of the portfolio that David Tannehill oversees has performed reasonably well. I think that the corporate allocation has done well. The equity allocation has done well. Any commercial mortgage, collateralized loan obligations, where we're looking to senior secured corporate loans have performed well. But let me just make this point. The sell-off in credit-related assets has really moved all the way up the credit stack and all the way out to every related part of the credit spectrum. So corporate bonds are down as well. Not as bad as subprime mortgages, mind you, but and then the a CLO, to distinguish that from a CDO backed by corporate loans, is not as poorly priced as a CDO backed by mortgage-backed collateral, but it nevertheless has suffered quite a bit of pricing pressure as well. So the performance of the assets and the pricing of the assets have been somewhat dislocated, so that everything has actually been pushed down with this credit crunch and liquidity crunch, so to speak. But I would say commercial mortgages continue to perform especially well in the mortgage-related arena, but their pricing has also been pushed out as well. So I can't locate, as a matter of fact, I can't put my finger on anything except treasuries that have actually gone up in price or remained constant in its relative credit space. But everything else, even out to agency mortgage-related securities, have widened substantially versus a treasury spread curve. Nevertheless, corporate credit seems to be doing well, and anything related to that has done reasonably well. We have done some reallocating of the portfolios, but frankly, we haven't been able to do a lot. Now, we have had redemptions in both the intermediate and high-income fund that have kept us sort of busy on that front, and we have reduced the leverage and cut down the leverage that is employed in the closed-end funds as well. So the portfolios are smaller all the way around and limiting somewhat our ability to reallocate the portfolios or reposition the portfolios. And, you know, finally, just how long do you expect this turmoil in the credit markets to persist? And what do you see as a possible resolution to get us into a more normalized market conditions? Well, as I said earlier, I believe this is going to take some time and more Fed action. And I guess to summarize, we've got to see a fairly sizable, and I think continued unwind of leverage. Literally, the hedge fund community exclusively uses leverage in any of their transactions, so that's got to unwind. And I think that the broker-dealer community themselves are fairly levered at this point in time. That is, the primaries for sure are a bit levered. That has to unwind a bit. And I believe that the you know, to get us to a more normalized market condition, we have to see a normal yield curve or a steeper yield curve, meaning lower short rates have to be lower than long rates, and there has to be a carry trade. And that, excuse me, that means that you have to be able to borrow money cheaply enough to finance a purchase and to have a positive carry in that trade. And an inverted yield curve and a very flat to inverted yield curve eliminates that ability for a positive carry trade and really takes a lot of incremental money out of the system. It's a very much a drain of liquidity, and we've seen that occur quite suddenly, I might add. And I think that when, you know, Fed funds are lowered, we get much lower borrowing costs, then we'll see a positive carry and a much more normal credit and liquid market. And how long that takes, I'm not sure. I guess if you, as I've been told by an economist once, you can name a level but don't name a time, or if you name a time, don't name a level. I might do neither. Name neither a time nor a level, but I do think it will straighten itself out at some point. Markets do that. You know, the equity market had to go through a fairly sizable repricing. I think the credit markets are doing that now. I think, frankly, it's occurring at quite a rapid pace. Depending on Fed actions, 3 to 6 months, maybe 9 months, depending on how slow that works. But I do think that at some point we'll see a normal yield curve with lower short rates, and things will stabilize. We continue to try to focus on earning the dividends, earning as good an income stream as possible. You know, the market volatility and how things are priced in this sort of market is just something that's beyond our control. But our focus is on value. Our focus is on finding good bonds that will produce good income for the periods to come and being able to pay that out to our customers. So sort of staying on task as much as we possibly can in this market. Thank you all for joining me. I hope I've been of some help to you. Thank you.